to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 188 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Kraut, and wow, so many different directions that this show has been scratched over in show sheet notes and all that kind of stuff in terms of how this thing was going to start and where I was going to go with it, and that's kind of changed a little bit. But so here's what I've come up with, and here's how we're going to start this thing tonight. I get real and I don't get real too often. I try to avoid social issues on the podcast, and that isn't because I don't think that they're not important or that they don't need to be addressed or anything like that. This podcast is a hobby. As you all know, I don't get paid to do it. It's not a job, and I want to keep the topics and conversation as fun as possible so that this never feels like a job. But I think things need to get addressed tonight. We all know what happened and what came out with the 43 team. I don't even know what to say. And it's hard to put words of wisdom that are profound or anything like that, especially with the news that just came out, a little bit ago before I started to hit record. But what I will say, and chills went up and down my back Monday at 3 o'clock, goosebumps on my arms, tears were forming in the eyes, as I'm sure they were for all of you, and all of the tears and all of the chills and all of the emotion that we felt probably wasn't even close to the emotion that Bubba Wallace and his 43 team were feeling as they were pushed to the grid by his peers, his competitors. And to that, that's the NASCAR that we love. The sport has come under such massive criticism as of late. And it's going to continue to come under criticism because of the news that just came out. That said, our sport should be looked at in a positive sense right now if it wasn't for social issues. I think we'd be looked at as the sport that was able to go back and figure things out with little issues. I know there have been a few reported COVID cases from some teams and stuff like that. That's, I think, where the positive focus could be at right now. And like I said, the news just came out a little bit ago in terms of it not being a hate crime as ruled by the FBI. And this is probably going to be a little bit of an unpopular opinion. I don't fault NASCAR that much, to be honest with you guys. I think NASCAR would have been in a lose-lose situation. They're looked at right now potentially by some as overreacting, but what if it was and they didn't? Then they underreacted. And with everything that's going on, I think NASCAR acted somewhat appropriately in terms of, acknowledging the situation and, if it had been somebody, banning that, all that stuff that we all know that came out. I get where NASCAR is going to take criticism because of that. But I think if they were going to have to react, I think they reacted, overreacted is probably better than underreacting in this situation in light of everything that's going on socially with our world right now, So that's where I'm at with that. I hope we can move forward. I think NASCAR and Bubba Wallace and all, it's the best possible resolution because it wasn't a hate crime. But what we did see was competitors show respect, rally around another driver, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. Just because there wasn't necessarily a need to do that because it wasn't what we thought it was, doesn't mean that those that rally of support from the drivers, the rally and support from everybody on social media, why can't we use that as the platform to move forward, to start showing our brothers and sisters a little bit more love, taking better care of ourselves and each other out there. And that's how I'd like to wrap that topic of conversation up right there. All right, We'll get into racing and all that in a little bit. Big show for you guys today. Hope you all had a great weekend. The wife and I got away for the night Friday. We took a three-day weekend. Had not taken a day off since January when we moved into the new house. We thought, what the hell? It was going to be a great, nice weekend weather-wise, all that. We took a drive, went and saw our friends over at Firekeepers Casino. Had a blast. I'm not retiring, unfortunately, but Firekeepers, I'll tell you this, has some awesome news coming out here in a couple of weeks. It was great to catch up with them. So if you're in the Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois area, be on the lookout for some up-and-coming news from Firekeepers. And who knows? They just might have to come on the show and talk about some stuff. So I'm really excited about that. Lap Traffic Nation, it was so cool once again to see 100,000 cameras during the one of many rain delays. I tweeted out, it never gets old seeing that. It's just as cool and humbling each time I see it, which is just so cool. Saturday, you guys knocked it out of the park, Lap Traffic Nation. I've been hovering around like 4,350, 4,360 followers for a while. And normally I tweet out the guest if I have one lined up, you know, Monday-ish. And I thought, well, is that worthy of enough to get people to want to follow to see who's going to be on? And it was close. But, man, you guys did awesome retweeting and all that kind of stuff, pushing over the 4,400 follower mark on Twitter, which is awesome. Like I said, it was close. It came down to about 10 laps to go, and I even picked up a few extra. So thank you guys so much. Closer and closer to the two giveaways, which I'll hit that at social media. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with Austin Hill. Really love talking with him. He's such a great guy. And I said it last week, HRE is to trucks as calling is to Xfinity, in my opinion. So it's great to watch those guys for sure. Tonight, Chase Briscoe here in just a second. So awesome to get him on the show for the first time. Talladega recap, social media, Brian Newdorf beyond, lots to talk about from a weather perspective. So that one might run a little long there. Lucky dog lap down picks. And we're crowning a segment one lap traffic fantasy champ. So lots to do tonight. Let's get things going. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the driver, the number 98 with Stewart Haas Racing. He's got three wins and eight top tens in the first 11 races this year, and he is chasing eight. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Chase Briscoe. Sir, what's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, not much. Just about waiting for it to cool down right now so I can mow my lawn. It's been so hot the last couple days. I've been trying to put it away, but the weeds are getting pretty bad, so I'm waiting for it to cool off and mow my lawn later. But other than that, not a lot.
Well, that's good. You know, it's humbling to think, like, you were just in victory lane, and but you're going to go cut your own grass. I absolutely love that, man. That's fantastic. Listen, before we get into the nuts and bolts of everything, you know, how was your quarantine and all that kind of stuff? You know, did you find any new hobbies? Last week I had Austin Hill on, and he said that Amazon, you know, one-click purchase, that got the best of him during the break. You know, how was your quarantine?
Yeah, the one click purchase thing didn't necessarily get me, but my wife for sure was she was wearing that thing out. So yeah, definitely got a lot of Amazon packages. But no, like I was saying, on my lawn, I've always been trying to get it looking better, just because my neighbor has a super nice lawn and ours just has weeds and just terrible grass everywhere. So did some landscaping stuff during the quarantine, and then other than that, not a whole lot. We did the iRacing stuff, obviously, and truthfully, kind of getting burnt out by the end of it. But it was nice to get on there and at least have something to do and still be able to race with your buddies during all that.
That's awesome. So that's, you know, has the iRacing thing, has that faded for you a little bit now that you're back to it, or do you still do that during the week a little bit?
No, I definitely have kind of taken a break. The first time I'd even got on there since we went back racing was actually this week leading up to Talladega. Just because I always feel like before plate racing, I feel like it benefits me to get on there and just make some moves and kind of just get back in that rhythm of what it takes to go plate racing. So I did that. But other than that, I haven't been on there. I've been wanting to try the old school cup cars that came out with, but I've just been so busy going back racing, I haven't even been able to do that. So I've been on there since 2010 though, so I've been a long time supporter of it. And you know, it's always been fun to get on there and just have fun with your friends. But you know, those 2 months where we were doing it got taken so seriously, it kind of got me burnt out for a little bit. But I'm sure once the off season comes, I'll be back on there and you know, probably playing it too much.
I can understand that. That's awesome. Well, listen, man, I want to start off by first saying congrats to an incredible start to 2020 so far. And I got to tell you, your victory lane humbleness is inspiring, and it's a joy to watch, man. And I just love everything that the fans have been able to see you do in your NASCAR career. It's been a lot of fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Some people get mad that I don't get worked up, I guess, in victory lane, but I'm pretty relaxed all the time. And you know, it wouldn't be possible without everybody that makes it happen. It's not just, you know, me winning these races. It's the whole team, you know, the entire pit crew, everybody, you know, our partners. It all takes a village to even get the car on the racetrack. And you know, I'm just the lucky one that gets to hold the steering wheel. But at the end of the day, you know, we all have to do our jobs. So yeah, I've always kind of been that way. I don't know what the word would be, flaunted, I guess. I just get out and do my thing and move on to the next week.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. That's really cool. Chase, you've moved up pretty quickly throughout the ranks as far as the NASCAR series is concerned. You know, you did a full ARCA season in 16. You won that championship. First full year in truck was 17. You finished sixth. And your first full year in Xfinity last year, you finished fifth. You've got quick success, it seems, in whatever you touch, man. What's attributed towards that for you?
I honestly don't know. You know, I think dirt racing certainly helps, just because, you know, you can go to the same dirt track, you know, every single weekend an entire year, and you technically race on a different racetrack each and every week just because the dirt changes so much. And you know, 1 week the top might be good, the next week the bottom, or vice versa. So I think, you know, as growing up dirt racing, you had to be versatile and you had to, you know, learn quickly. You know, you go to a new racetrack, you get two or three practice laps and hot laps, and then you're on racing. So you were just forced to figure things out quickly. And, you know, the pavement thing for me, I feel like it's always fit my driving style a lot more than dirt. But it took a little while to figure out really how to run the races and how to, you know, not necessarily be there at the end, but just how to save your tires and stuff like that. And that took me, you know, I feel like every series I've moved into, it takes me 8 to 10 races to kind of figure out what I need in the race car and just the things that make it all of them different. You know, even the ARCA deal, I think I didn't win until the 10th or 11th race, but then we won, you know, 6 out of the last 10. So it just takes a little bit of time. And same with the truck series. I feel like it always takes me those 8 to 10 races to kind of hit my stride. And you know, now in the Xfinity series, I feel like I've slowly started doing that.
Well, that 8 to 10, that doesn't sound like a horrible learning curve. That's pretty, and I would have to attribute too, it's not just a matter of you getting to know the car either. It's you must have an incredible way of being able to communicate what you actually need out of the car in terms of, you know, if you tell, hey, it's loose, well, you know, loose is different for everybody. So you must have a very clear way of being able to explain to the team what you need, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm good at it, but I think that I've been really, really fortunate my entire, you know, or short stock car career, that I've worked with really good teams, one, that have good race cars, and two, really good crew chiefs. So, you know, you got to have that. You know, I think that's the biggest thing for me coming from dirt, that, you know, dirt, you can take a 15th place race car and run fifth with it, where on the pavement, if you have a 15th place race car, you know, you can maybe run 10th or 12th with it. And you have to be in good equipment to win on the pavement side of things, especially in NASCAR. If you're not in good equipment, you're not going to win races. Sure. And, you know, I've been really fortunate, you know, starting in ARCA, being with Cunningham, who was a really good team, and then, you know, moving to BKR and running good equipment there. And then now at Stuart Haas, you know, I've just been very blessed to be able to be with those teams, and then as well as work with really good crew chiefs that have understood what I'm looking for in the car. And in some, it's taken longer than others, but you know, we always seem to find that. And then once we find that, we've always been really good.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, let's talk about the last couple weekends in the Xfinity Series. Let's get Talladega out of the way real quick, because I know that wasn't the result you guys were looking for. You have had some pretty good success at the plate tracks, Talladega and Daytona. But man, talk about this past weekend and what the race was like for you.
Yeah, it was, you know, typical Talladega or even Daytona. You know, you just go to those racetracks and you just hope to be able to salvage something out of there. And, you know, it's so hard to go down there and look at the results and say, man, you know, that was a tough day or whatever, just because there's so many circumstances that go into that. And, you know, for us, we didn't get the finish we necessarily wanted, but we had really good stage points and won a stage. So, you know, for us, that was kind of the best case scenario after our finish. So, you know, you go down there and you try to stay out of trouble, obviously, but it's easier said than done. And, sure. You know, I think we ended up 17th or 18th or something like that. But, you know, for us, getting that playoff point and winning a stage was huge. So I think for us, it was really a win. You know, we may have finished 17th, but we didn't lose any ground in the points. I think we actually gained 2 or 3 points on Noah after our really tough week at Homestead, where, you know, it's just those stage points are so crucial and you have to be able to get those. And Talladega and Daytona are places where, you know, it's really easy to lose a lot of points, just because that's probably, as long as everything goes smoothly at the mile and a half and other places, we should easily be in the top 10, where there it's obviously, you know, very circumstantial. So
absolutely,
for us, it was a good day, even though we didn't have necessarily the finisher that we wanted.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a good point. You know, like with the way the stage points are, you know, if you finish well in the top one or two stages there, you know, you can almost get away and walk out with the same amount of points as a 30th place finish, you know, in terms of not where you perform in the first two stages there. So that's I like that perspective there. Let's talk about Homestead, man. What a roller coaster of a weekend it was. 5 laps down to start on Saturday, to battle back and get those laps back is just remarkable. You know, it's a challenge to get 1 or 2 laps back sometimes, let alone 5. And then to turn around the next day with Zippidelli up on the box and pick up the win, man. What? Just talk about the emotion, because I can only imagine what that whole weekend was like, man.
Yeah, it was a very up and down week, or I guess a down and up weekend, to say the least. With, you know, going into Homestead, I feel like that's my best racetrack and my favorite racetrack. So, you know, I really had all the confidence in the world that we could go down there and win 2 races. And then you start Saturday, or, well, we don't even start, you know, we're going around for pace laps, and, you know, we have that issue with the lead, and we come down and you're sitting on pit road and hoping that it'll get fixed, because, you know, if you're only 1 or 2 laps down, you're okay. And then you just keep going and they keep clicking away and clicking away. And, you know, I think we were 5 down, and then we ended up having too many men over the wall. So then we had to come back down again, and we ended up going 6 down. And then at that point, you know, you're thinking your day's over. You're trying to stay positive and, you know, try to salvage the most out of it that you can. And we were able to drive back before that competition caution and get 1 of our laps back. So that put us 5 down. And then, you know, we were really fortunate that issue happened at the racetrack that it did, because if we go to a Kansas or Kentucky or Texas or somewhere with no tire fall off, you're never going to be able to do what we were able to do. And with that competition caution, we're able to come down and put tires on, and obviously drive back and pass the leaders again. So that puts us 4 down. And then at the end of the stage, they all have to pit. So then we get the wave around. So now we're 3 down, and we just kept doing that over and over and over again until we were finally back on the lead lap. And we were out of tires at the end of the race, but we were able to salvage a really good finish out of it. So, you know, Saturday, to be able to do that, we had all the confidence in the world going into Sunday, even though we were going to be down a couple people. And then the Sunday race starts, and our car was really, really loose for some reason. I don't know if it was just so much hotter on Sunday or what. And, you know, I was a little worried there for probably the first 3 quarters of the race, but I knew in the back of my mind I still had a little bit left in the tank if I started running the wall a lot harder. And, you know, once it got to 40 to go, you know, Noah was almost, I want to say, 5 seconds ahead. And I knew I had to start running really hard at that point. We were able to catch him, and I truthfully thought he would make a mistake after I ran him down that far. And he did a really good job of not messing up at all. And I ended up putting it in the wall with 4 or 5 to go. And from all of our unlucky situations, you know, earlier this year, or even early on Saturday, we got really lucky and caught that caution on Sunday, and we were able to obviously have a really good pit stop and kind of steal a win that we weren't going to have.
Sure. No, hey, but you know what? That's racing. That happens. So, you know, it was awesome to watch that Homestead weekend, just to see what you guys did. And like you were saying, you know, being that many laps down, you know, it could have almost just been, all right, man, let's just go log laps and see what we can do here. But man, testament to you for not giving up behind the wheel and to the team for being able to pull off the pit stops and to give you the opportunity to get those laps back, man. That was a lot of fun to watch Homestead weekend, man.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, it was fun from behind the wheel too, especially when you're coming in and you have, you know, new tires compared to old tires there. And, you know, I think our whole goal was, as soon as it happened, I was confident we were going to have a really fast race car and we could probably get some of our laps back. But, you know, I think, you know, even though I told the guys it was going to be okay on the radio, I think down deep, I probably didn't think we were going to come back from six laps down. And, sure. You know, we ended up doing it. And, you know, the sickening part is if we didn't have that too many men over the wall, definitely we had only been five laps down. We technically, I think, could have won the race, but you know, that's all part of it. And, you know, it was just, you know, a testament of the team to never give up. You know, I think our whole goal was when that happened was if we can just get to two laps down, at least then there's going to be some people on our lap that we can maybe race and get to, you know, 25th or whatever. And then, you know, everything just fell so perfect for us and we had a really fast car. So it allowed us to get back on the lead lap. And, you know, like I said, if it was at a place like Texas or somewhere with no tire fall off, we would have never been able to do that. So it all worked out perfect.
That's awesome. Were you a fan of the doubleheader? Is there another track that you think that might work at? Or, you know, so what do you think of that perspective of it?
Yeah, I enjoy the doubleheader. I mean, obviously, I like it a lot more at tracks I'm good at, enjoy running. You know, if it's not one of my favorite tracks, I probably wouldn't like it as much. But no, I liked it. And then especially with, you know, our situation that we had, it was nice to be able to have redemption on Sunday and be able to, you know, go out there and try to redeem ourselves. So, you know, I think I like the doubleheader just because we're already there. You might as well run, you know, two races while you're there. I think it worked out perfect. And you know, I'm definitely not against doing it at other places. I would love to do it at, you know, short tracks or whatever. I think it's tough for the teams, especially having to, you know, change the car all over going into Sunday and all that. But, you know, I think for the fans, especially if we had fans at the racetrack, it'd be a great idea.
Absolutely. Well, and that kind of leads to my next one. I've asked the last couple of guys that have been on these next two, and it's cool to just get different perspectives. You know, what's it been like for you, especially since you've been to Victory Lane without fans? You know, what's it like for you at the track, the one-day show with no fans there? Is it throwing you off a little bit, not seeing fans in the garage asking for autographs and in the grandstand? So what's that been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I even tweeted about it the other week is, you know, you don't realize how much we need the fans until they're not there. And, you know, the whole thing, you know, going to driver's meetings, walking through the garage, walking to, you know, driver intros, doing driver intros, all that stuff. The fans are what makes that. Our whole sport is based on fans and that fan interaction. And you know, when you're out there on the track racing, I don't think you really necessarily think about it just because you're so focused on other things. But, you know, when you win the race and you get out, there's really no reason to celebrate without the fans there. They're what pumps you up. You know, you're watching their reactions and you kind of feed off of that. And when there's no fans there, it's just kind of whatever. You know, you just get out and you're done. Yeah. And it does suck to win a race and not have that. I mean, it's obviously nice to win the race, but you know, you look forward to, you know, interacting with the fans when you win and getting them pumped up and hearing them. And, you know, especially, you know, you go back to the Darlington race. It was an awesome race between me and Kyle. I would have loved to see the fans after that race. Absolutely. And to get out and have none of that. It is tough, but you know, we understand the kind of situation that we're in right now. And, you know, I can't wait till fans are able to come back. That's for sure.
Absolutely. All right. We're headed to Pocono. You've been there twice in the Xfinity Series. You got a 38th place finish, but that was due to a wreck back in 2018 and a third place finish last year. You mentioned Homestead is one of your favorite tracks. Where does Pocono rank on Chase's favorite track list?
Well, I wouldn't say it's near the top, but I have always been really fast there, I feel like. You know, I was able to win an ARCA race there, and then the truck series. I don't even really remember where we finished, but you know, even in that 38th place finish, you know, we were running, I think, seventh or eighth in the 60 car, which for that car and how that year went was going to be a really good day. And then, you know, last year we were pretty fast. So I'm confident going into Pocono. I always feel like we can go and win there. And, you know, I like driving around there just because your car's never perfect. You have to just kind of figure it out and adapt. And, you know, to be good in one corner, you're going to have to give up in another corner. And with no practice, I think that's going to just be, you know, even more extreme. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm confident that we can go there and win the race. And, you know, the biggest thing about Pocono is it's really hard to pass, and you get so spread out. It's just hard to make up a lot of ground on guys. So hopefully we can get a good draw for the starting position. That's something that we've not been very good at during this random draw. So I'm not, you know, going to hold my breath for it, but hopefully we, all this bad luck we've been having in the draw will, you know, be turned around and we'll get a front row or at least a front two row starting spot for Pocono.
Are you a fan of the lack of practice and just to show up and race, or at a place like Pocono because of the fact that you can't get that car dialed in perfectly for, you know, like you said, you got to give in one to get in the other, you know, is Pocono a track where you wouldn't mind a 30-minute practice just to be able to see what the car's doing, or how has that impacted things for you?
You know, I think Pocono would be nice just to know what your car's going to do when you go off into one going that fast. But I personally love the no practice just because it goes back to that dirt racing deal where, you know, you just got to figure it out. I think having no practice puts, you know, the race a lot more in the driver's hands because nobody's car is out there driving perfect like they want it to. And you just got to figure it out. And then you got to be good at relaying what you need to your team and, you know, really only two or three adjustments for the end of the race. So I like it. I mean, it helps that at Stuart Haas, I feel like we're always pretty close to where we need to be when we unload. But, you know, I enjoy it. I don't like the drawing position deal just because we've been on the bad end of it. But, you know, I truthfully do like the no practice thing. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if we, you know, if we go back to having practice, you know, cut it down to maybe 15, 20 minutes and just make sure you get that one run in to make sure nothing's, you know, vibrating or going to fall off. But other than that, yeah, I'm a fan of it.
Sure. I love that. Chase, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
Yeah. So Twitter is just at Chase Briscoe 5. And then Facebook is just Chase Briscoe. And then we also have ChaseBriscoe.com. And then Instagram is Briscoe_5.
Awesome. Chase, man, thank you so much for calling into the show. It was great to chat with you. Good luck this weekend. Good luck the rest of the season. And hopefully get to bump into you 6 feet apart at a track very soon, man.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, see ya.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Great to talk to Chase Briscoe. Really excited to see what he is able to do the rest of the season. Something tells me we'll see him again in Victory Lane and hopefully back on the Lap Traffic Podcast before the season is said and done. All right, let's talk a little Talladega. We'll start with the Xfinity Series. Well, I mean, it was the Colic Racing Show is what it was. I'll get to that in a second. Six cautions, Xfinity Series race. Three manufactured, three natural. The other three were for a small one, a medium-sized one, and a big one. Pretty typical. You know, only lost 11 cars due to wrecks. Not the worst, not the best. The race, though, I have such a hard time describing it. For me, I saw some 2x2 restarts, 3x3, until it faded out single file for the Xfinity Series until about 5 to go in each stage. Then I saw guys racing for stage points like it was the win. And then the final stage was much the same. Now, the finish, though, absolutely incredible. And I think you have to feature and talk about Colic Racing. And I know I've gone on about them a lot lately, but in my opinion, they deserve to be talked about. All three finish in the top 10 for, I think, the second or third time in the last handful of races. They've won two of the last four races. They've won the last two of four dash for cashes, put an extra 200 G's in their pocket. These guys are on the move, and they are just so much fun to watch. AJ, last few, one win, two top fives and four top tens in his four races so far this year. Ross Chastain, three top fives and nine top tens in 11 races. And Justin, one win, four top fives and seven top tens in 11 races. You know, Ross and Justin in the top six in standings, not to mention
the amazing camaraderie and respect all three teammates have. You know, it's again, yeah, one of those things. I got goosebumps this weekend. Like, you know, NASCAR provided this weekend, that's for sure. You know, the way those three celebrated at the end of the race, not as three race teams, but as one collective team. I think it's a fun and positive thing and a positive story to come out of the weekend as well as everything else. And it was just that finish to the Xfinity race. Made for what was kind of lackluster for the first few stages there, that's for sure. A couple of other notable finishes with guys being able to capitalize on the fact that it was a plate race. Jeb Burton, in just his fifth start, picks up a top three finish. That's awesome. Brett Moffitt picked up a fifth place finish. Greg Galding, top 10. Brandon Brown, 11th. Jeffrey Earnhardt, 14th. PETM, PhD alum, Tommy Joe Martin's, top 15. You know, these are the day, and this is where, you know, us as fans that, you know, aren't a fan of the plate and tapered spacer. Can we just agree that it's for here on out known as plate racing? I think I may have said this before, and if anybody's from Michigan, they'll understand this. You know, trying to change the name from plate race to tapered spacer or whatever it is, it's like trying to change the name of Pine Knob to DTE Energy Music Theater. It will and forever always be known as Pine Knob. From here on out, it's just assumed it's whatever it is, it's plate racing. So, wow, that was a left turn there. Sorry, guys. Just so much going on tonight. Anyways, you know, as much as we critique plate racing, is where, though, some of these teams, especially in the Xfinity and the Truck Series, when they go to these races, these are where these guys want to try to shine because they have the ability to get some extra purse money. Granted, we don't know what it is with a top 10 or a top 15 finish for teams that are usually finishing, you know, 20 to 30th on back. So for a team like Tommy Joe Martin's to finish top 15, that really helps them. And for me, that helps, you know, I'm cool with that. I like that. I like seeing these teams do well at these style of races because it's their chance to shine, and it makes the pill to swallow a little bit more bearable. That said, we got one more dash for cash to go this weekend at Pocono with Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, Justin Haley, and Alex LeBay fighting for it, which is awesome. That's going to be fun to watch. And another rare Sunday Xfinity race, which is pretty cool. So, all right, let's move over. Let's talk a little cup racing at Talladega. All right, so Talladega, Daytona, it, you know, in my opinion, as I mentioned with the Xfinity race, tend to get single file for the first 10 cars or so once things get settled down at the start or after restarts. You know, then we'll typically see 2x2, you know, maybe 12th on back, something like that. And then you've got your charge to the front with 8 or 10 to go in the stages and at the end. I think initially at the start, everyone was a little extra cautious because for a while there, we thought we were racing the weather. And I don't think anyone wanted to be the cause of the huge red flag that if that hadn't happened, they would have at least got the thing to an official race. So I think initially at the start, everyone behaved for a minute. And once we got back racing after that rain delay, I think things heated up because there was still that chance of rain, which impacted strategy and skill and all that. And trust me, I'm going to be asking Newdorf here in a few minutes what the hell happened there that we were able to get this whole thing in. But once that all got situated and we knew where we were going, this race really was a pretty cool Talladega race. We had a minor big one at the end, which I guess that's going to happen. At least the guys were there fighting for, like, literally at the stripe, which was cool. You know, two to go, final lap, just a matter. Do they have to throw the caution? Can they let them get back under yellow if they wave the white flag, all that kind of stuff? In this case, the wreck literally inches before the start finish with Almirola. You know, I mean, I don't think you'll ever beat Clint Boyer in 07 at Daytona sliding across on his roof. Almirola's, you know, backwards third place finish is probably going to be second for a real long time. So just cool to see that awesome photo finish there, really, with Blaney, Stenhouse, Almirola. Stenhouse, not doing typical Stenhouse things, which was pretty cool to see. It was great to see him race a solid race there. You know, not that he doesn't race solid races, but we just see him get a little over aggressive sometimes because he is good. He knows he's good at the plate races. And I think he saw he could just, you know, maintain a little bit. And hey, look what happens. So that was cool. Listen, I'll take the blame in the heat for Harvick's mishap with Jimmy Johnson. I won't make excuses on that one. I was reminded by a few people about the Xfinity Darlington race a few years back, sitting next to PETM and Andrew Cancian. He had a little mishap with Chastain, which I'll never live that one down. You know, this one, I think, could be chalked up a little bit to the type of racing, but I'll take my medicine if I have to. That's fine. I'm a big boy. I will say, though, I was rooting and pulling for Tyler Riddick. He had just another outstanding performance. He might be the first rookie to get a win out of the big three, and I think that would be awesome for RCR. I mentioned that a little bit last week as well. And again, just to kind of piggyback off of what I was saying in the Xfinity series, as far as, you know, teams probably looking forward to Talladega and Daytona, you know, are the teams that don't normally get the finishes that they're able to get. You know, Chris Buescher took advantage of it, picked up a sixth place finish. John Hunter Nemechek making some noise as a rookie with a top 10. Bubba with a solid 14th place finish. Corey LaJoie with a 16th place finish. You know, these aren't spots that we're typically used to saying for these guys. And again, it helps out those smaller teams a lot. So that's where we're at there. My question to you guys this week was, hey, we're halfway through the regular season. And instead of, you know, I posed a question wrong and I thought about it after I sent it, but I knew it was late on a Monday and response was probably not going to be as strong as if it were on Sunday. And I should have saved who's in your final four until the playoffs.
Don't talk about playoffs.
Started. And what I should have done was say who's going to not make the playoffs this week. But that's, you know, like I said, I thought about it too late. So anyways, my question to you guys was, who is going to be in your final four? All right. Pixie at Pixie Doodle. Not ready to make that call yet. I don't think any of the youngins have enough playoff experience to get that deep. So I'm looking at Logano, Harvick, Hamlin, Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex. The last two aren't doing very well now, but might come on hard as we get closer to the playoffs. Gina at Gina Loves JJ48, who I took a little heat from on that Harvick Jimmy Johnson wreck there. Only four. I can't do that yet. I'm still on the fence with a few drivers that haven't won yet. They're so close. Ask me again next week after the second Pocono race. Might be able to answer you then. Rush at E-Rush 710, Keselowski, Logano, Blaney, DiBenedetto, Reason, Team Penske. Dude, if that's the final four, man, like, call into the hotline when that's the final four. I will send you a t-shirt, because if you call that now, that's a bold-ass prediction. I like that one, sir. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fan, I'll go with Chase, Harvick, Logano, and Truex. Keselowski will be close, but I think he'll announce he's going somewhere else next year, and the team will become a sitting duck. That I could see that happening 100%. Kent at Kent underscore Dolphays. Harvick, Chase, Hamlin, Martin Truex, with Harvick winning at Phoenix, but can never count out the 18. And Andrew at the old Ace 9, Chase, Harvick, Busch, Martin Truex Jr., almost want to say the 11 over the 18, but won't today. So my thoughts are this year's round of eight is just going to be crazy. I'm going to say the final four is Harvick, Hamlin, Busch, and Chase. I think Chevy has to make it to a final four. That said, I wouldn't be surprised if Truex, Brad, Joey make it. I think Harvick and Busch have made it to the final four so many times. Competition strong. At some point, it's, you know, something's going to give and they ain't going to make it. But man, any one of these guys could. It's so hard. I'm with you all there on that. Next race, Saturday and Sunday, we get our long awaited doubleheader at Pocono. All right, guys, let's keep moving. Let's get to a little social media. All right, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Lap Traffic PC, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and of course, Twitter,
at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean. Just search Lap Traffic Podcast, search NASCAR. You'll see the logo. Giveaway. Oh, we are getting closer and closer. Thanks to everyone's support on Saturday. Less than 100 to go for the t-shirt hat giveaway, which means less than 500 to go for the rear quarter panel giveaway. Really excited to give those away and hit some milestones for sure. Some new follower shout outs, James McDaniels at the Sportsman 24 from California, communications specialist and a big sports and racing fan. JD at JD Cunningham, an independent author and NASCAR fan. NASCAR John at John 1288, YouTuber and NASCAR gamer. The Start Finish Line at Start Finish Line. Love those types of parodies. Those are cool. Jody at Dirt Girl at Heart, NASCAR fan. And Jody, I had a Dash Hound that looked just like your profile picture there. Absolutely love it. And Ryan at Ryan Britt _ from Ohio, but a Red Wings and NASCAR fan. Absolutely love it. Don't forget, check out the store. There's t-shirts and all that kind of good stuff there. And if you want a free koozie and some stickers, just go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page with your name and address, and I will be happy to send one to you for free. All right. I think it's time for a little weather. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell, keeping us up to date on all the weather happenings. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Awesome.
I'm good.
Awesome. How was your weekend?
Well, I worked.
Okay.
I'm actually at the end of my weekend now.
Fair
starting
enough.
Today.
Okay, cool. Does that work out for you a little bit sometimes? Like, you know, having like a day off during the week or 2 days off? Like,
oh, sometimes I've been absolutely. Yeah, honestly, I've been absolutely worthless this weekend. So, I mean, I basically have logged several hours on Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So that's been
good deal. Nothing wrong with that.
You can't do that stuff in real life.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you there. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I go in like streaks of like where I will play like 10 games of Madden in like a 48-hour period, and then I'll go months without even touching a season. I'm like, all right, where am I at in this season, and go from there. But yeah, nothing wrong with a little, you know, decompressed stress relief, whatever it may be. Nothing wrong with that. All right. We got a lot to talk about here. So let's mix. We'll start with a little weather. We'll get into some other stuff, and then we'll wrap up with this week's weather and some lap traffic fantasy. So here's where we'll start. The weather this past weekend, Talladega. Walk us through that a little bit. Like rain, we knew it was coming. How long was it going to last? Did something like magical happen Monday to where we were able to get the full distance in? What happened?
It was just one of those situations. Some drier air was able to get in when the showers arrived. I mean, you had the atmosphere. There was a marginal risk for severe weather, which prior to that line of storms reaching the track, it had been warned about 3 hours earlier because of gusty winds. I mean, the radar was lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, Clark Griswold would have been proud. But with that whole thing coming in, eventually, I mean, you know, the downside is with, you know, you can look at the big picture, and then sometimes smaller scale things happen that we don't see.
Sure.
And so drier air started to get in there and help to kind of – the one band of rain kind of moved through very quickly. And then once it moved through, drier air started to kill the rain behind it. And again, it's a matter of when you're it's one thing to be – and I think Aaron and I talk about this quite a bit. It's one thing for us to talk about you know, forecasting for a city or a larger area. It's another thing to forecast for, you know, you're talking about a couple square miles, if that. And that's really hard. I mean, I don't know how many times where a really bad forecast, when I say really bad, meaning the rain chances were extremely high, but we raced the full race without seeing a drop. Why? Because the rain was within Like, I literally have watched a Dwuss race where rain was literally a mile and a half away, and it stayed there the whole entire race. So if you think about that, we're talking sometimes mile, less than a mile, it can rain or a storm can pass by, never impact the track, and we can keep racing. So, I mean, it really does come down to that, and that's tough.
Sure.
I mean, because in all honesty, that's an accurate forecast.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't say we were precise. I mean, here's the thing. If I'm shooting at a target, you know, doing target practice, you know, and even the bullseye, I know the bullseye is tight, but still, if I hit the edge and my little target kind of gets the inside of the thing, I'm going to count it, right?
Yeah.
So
just to kind of put this into like maybe a different perspective here is, you know, like, for example, me in my social science area of political science, when we're doing statistical analysis, we're allowed to call it a success if we're in a plus or minus margin of 5%. From a medical science perspective, you want to be within 0.01%, you know, so that's a big variance there. So from you, from a meteorologist perspective, you know, if you're within a mile or 2 miles, like, that's within acceptable tolerance there. It was just a luck of the draw that the track happened to be outside of that range.
Yeah. I mean, I can point to so many examples where I've been watching a radar and rain just falls just outside of the purview of the track. We can race the entire way, but somebody, you know, not very far had a wet day the entire day.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, to the fan, oh, it never rained at the track, so you're wrong.
Yeah, well.
You know.
Yeah,
I mean, and we don't sit there and try to, you know, and honestly, Aaron and I don't go out there going, look at it, you know, we just like, okay, you know, we take our lumps, we move forward. We don't, sometimes it's better off just not explaining.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, and it's, what the funny thing is, and, you know, and I'll be honest, we're human. So one of the big things that happens sometimes is, so on Saturdays and it's more Sunday, but I think I put out my first forecast Friday, Saturday, because I had been working. So I didn't really get a chance to look at anything. So when I finally did post something and got some stuff out of there, I mean, I was not dry. But I know when Aaron did his forecast early in the week, yeah, it looked dry. That's why we always tell you 5-day forecast, 7-day forecast are typically crap.
Yes.
You know, no offense. You know, we're on your show early on in the week. And
right.
We could play this game here on out, how accurate this forecast is that we do here. And that's typically we try to paint with a fairly big brush.
Absolutely.
Early on in the week. Yes. I mean, my best story, the one forecast that kind of put me on the map in the NASCAR world was that Daytona 500 that was ran on a, you know, Monday night.
The Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yes, the one, that one, because the fact that not only did I call that one, but, you know, it was one of those situations where, I mean, even like I did a forecast on a Wednesday and it was dry, but there was a hint of something and then everything changed. So it went from being completely dry to all of a sudden, you know, that threat of rain and, you know, things slow down, things get bottled up. The weather just, you know, models are their models. So you just got to take them with a grain of salt. That's why we always tell people too, you know, we make fun of apps quite often, more or less people sending us their apps.
Well, see, that leads to my next one I was going to ask you. So,
but as far as the app situation go, my viewpoint, and I think Aaron would agree with this, is we want you, yes, please use us as a source, but if you don't like what we say, now it's not like Black Friday shopping where you can go you go shopping around for the forecast you want. That doesn't necessarily work that way. But what I'm saying is you should look at a bunch of information. And if you start to see a trend that seems to be, you know, accurate sites that are saying something similar, then that's what you should make your decision on. Not just my forecast,
sure.
Not just Aaron's forecast, but – you know, give as much information. And I always like people sending me direct messages. By the way, you send me a direct message during a race, I'm never going to see it and I'm not going to respond. I apologize, but I can't do it. There's just too many. And so I apologize. But thank you. You send me during the week, probably okay. But if you send me and I have like 8 or 10 messages that says, are we really going to race? Just wait. I'll post. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not keeping – I have no secret information that I'm keeping from everybody.
Well, so speaking of fans and apps and at tweets, maybe we have solved the tweeting of the weather app, but that has now moved to apparently you and Aaron being at fault and making the decisions for the drop of the green flag start time, apparently.
Actually, no. I just think people are – I mean, nobody actually accused me. Everybody was blaming NASCAR. They weren't blaming us. They just happened to be
including you.
Yeah, well, they were just responding to our forecast, and then they would retweet it, and it was just like constant, why would NASCAR – let's be honest. How many times when we watch a race and it's been rained out – I mean, I think in the last – at least as long as I've been doing this, every Monday race typically starts at noon.
Yes. Yeah. No, it has. Yeah, because they want
to – So all of a sudden we're going to later, maybe because there's no sports, and yes – listen, TV is a part of that, all right? They need to get their thing out to an audience. But with, like, the indication when you have places like Fox Sports, I mean, I'm going to be honest, my local Fox station didn't run the race. They put it on their CW.
Sure. I would say that I could say with almost certainty and confidence in this statement, with no facts to back it up, but pretty confident, is that because of the fact of limited fans, up until the last 2 weeks and no fans prior to that, NASCAR being able to have the discretion of, yeah, we're going to make the teams, crew, and media suffer and run a Monday afternoon race, but that's going to get it in front of more eyes. If there were fans and it was under normal circumstances, these last couple races that we've run on a Monday afternoon probably get run, or at least attempt to have a green flag at that 12-1 o'clock on a Monday, just so everybody can get the hell out of there because they've been there all week. I agree that that's I would bet where that's all coming from with that. Once we get back to normal, I don't know. I think NASCAR tested it out last year in June at MIS, honestly, when they did a Monday at like 3-4 o'clock or whatever that start time was, and people came. People showed up for that. So I get it was a pain in the ass for the drivers and the teams, but I think it does work out a little bit better, for everybody.
Of course.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and so you were talking about some other things. So with that tweet, there was that. So, this time around, I never felt like that was directed at us. And this time around, everybody – the one thing I always, find interesting is kind of what I call, the naysayers, the Debbie Downers of the world, or people not actually reading my tweet. I mean, first of all, I give odds of racing, not odds of raining. Yes, both of them start with an R and they end with a, G. There are other different words in there, and they have RA in there. So, but the odds of racing, if I put, and this one was one of the situations where, Aaron and I don't always agree. Saturday was one of the situations where on Friday, or on at least Sunday's race, Aaron thought I was being a little pessimistic, and then we ended up, not racing on Sunday, and I was ended up turning out to be too optimistic despite that. And then we both, and I'll chalk it up, I'll be flat out honest, a lot of what ended up happening too on Sunday was we saw the setup looking very similar to Sunday on Monday. And I think once bitten, twice shy plays in there. That's where the human factor of what we do. And we were seeing the timing. We got the timing of the rain really well. It started at 3.
Yeah.
But listen, anytime I'd rather be wrong and we race than be wrong and we don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's 100%. Going racing is the objective here behind all this.
So. True. And, I think people need to understand that Aaron and I are fans who happen to do NASCAR weather.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. We are NASCAR fans who happen to do weather.
No affiliation.
And speaking of being a fan, this has been a tough week for NASCAR.
Yeah.
If anybody saw the news that came down on Tuesday, first of all, NASCAR is going to get a lot of criticism for reacting, if you will, to what happened to Bubba Wallace.
Yep.
But honestly, and maybe they should have done more without making it public. It turns out that the quote unquote or the so-called noose that was found in his garage was something that had been there for years. And it some reports say that it was a garage door handle, to pull the garage door down. So, but listen, the fact that NASCAR is rallying around their one African-American driver, and they're saying, you know, we're not going to put up with this. You know, it's out there and it's in the sport. I saw a lot of pushback with the flag being said, you know, banned, the Confederate flag being banned from the race. And I will be honest, one of the tweets I got during all this in a response to a retweet I did was the complete pledge of allegiance to the Confederate flag. I will tell you, you do that, you are going to get blocked. I don't block very many people, but sure. that was an instant go.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, no, it's you know, I get where the you know, people could say overreaction, but then if NASCAR didn't and it turned out to that was what the actual case, you know, NASCAR at that point's in a lose-lose situation for either over or underreacting.
No, you're right. You know, it looks so- You know. I think in the end, it looks, I don't know if there's optics or whatever you want to call it, but in my opinion, it looks better that they actually did something I'd rather them be proactive and then find out, okay, it's not, than to not. And it, but you know what? I think
it,
they said
it
here it is.
Some unity too. It helped show some support, some, you know, and that, you know, that's something maybe we need a little bit right now in society. So I'm okay with that. Let's see here.
We were talking about fantasy, which I was trying to avoid because rookie made the mistake of jarring and getting into some trash talking.
You did do that.
Soon as I opened my mouth.
Yeah,
I am the rookie.
Yes. But here's the thing. So here's the thing. So you're now down 5-3 in the head-to-head, and Aaron got you into points as well. So, but the positive to that is this week, segment two starts from scratch. So,
It got harder at the end there. Maybe I'm like I said, he's got some experience in the stretch. So,
yes.
You know,
yes. So, I'm excited to see how things start off for segment two with you guys.
Oh, you can. I'm going to concede to him already, but if I get lucky, I get lucky.
All right. So let's talk and we'll wrap it up with what the weather outlook is for Pocono this week. So here's the thing. When NASCAR announced the Pocono double last year or whatever it was, you know, excited, like, hell yeah, excited for this new format and let's see how this works. But then on this other hand, I'm like, man, they're going to try to do 5 races in 2.5 days, basically, at a track that is notorious for rain delays. So how are things looking for Pocono?
So I got to look at the schedule better because even I'm confused on the schedule. So what days are we at again?
Well, just give me a heads up.
I'm having a hard time. Like, let's be honest. I thought yesterday was Tuesday, so that explains one of the tweets that I screwed up. So,
there's an ARCA race, and I'm not sure what day that's on, but I know
that's
that
Friday. The ARCA race is on Friday.
So then we've got Truck and Cup Saturday, Xfinity Cup Sunday. So we got 5 races.
Okay, so 5 races, 3 days. So generally speaking, Friday looks good, and then Saturday, Sunday definitely don't look like Pocono washouts.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a chance of rain. Listen, it's summertime. We get showers. You know, a lot of people have been saying with this particular, and I'm going to throw, when it comes to looking at the whole season and talking about, you know, climate, and we're not doing the normal NASCAR thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're not doing the normal NASCAR thing. So I really have to kind of like, you think about the first couple of races and they were all within a very short distance of each other, locked into a pattern, and we were racing quite more frequently. So overall, let's throw this season out. Let's stop asking the question, why is this season different? Well, Corona, that's why. It's sure. COVID.
Yeah.
All right. It's the COVID. So it's changing the way we do NASCAR. And because of that, we're getting more opportunities for, I mean, it's an outdoor sport that goes a long time. I mean, even baseball has to deal with rain. So does football. Some of them play in rain, others don't, storms, whatever. But so bottom line, this is a weird year. I wanted to get that out there. So what are we looking at? Yes, Pocono is known for rain, but this forecast doesn't look any different, but I'm going to caution, if you're going, they're letting people come, are they? I don't even know anymore.
I'll be honest. That's a great question. I don't recall seeing anything about that.
Let's just play this one. If they're allowing fans, okay, if they're allowing fans and fans are going to be there and you are one of the people who are going or lucky ones who get to go, you know, be prepared. Keep checking the forecast every day, especially after Wednesday. Okay, as we learned, the closer we get, the better we get in the forecast. So the closer you get, you know, and if you are going, have backup plans, have plans. I mean, even as a meteorologist, when I started going to NASCAR races, I immediately had like the Monday plan.
Sure.
All right. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to a race. I'm always having that rain check plan just in case.
Yep.
That way, you know, that way I can get back and get to a race. And if I need to stay an extra day, then outstanding. So that's all I'm going to say. Right now, it looks like the wettest period, and we have a front moving through. So the concern is with this early out is timing, and timing is always a pain in the butt. So because at this point, it could slow down or speed up. And if that does one of those two things, right now, it's at a perfect time. It's supposed to come through Saturday night into Sunday. So, you know, when we're not racing. But if it comes in early and it's Saturday, then maybe Sunday looks good. And if it comes in later, then it could cause some problems. And of course, if it's warm and humid in some situations, Saturday, that's where we have a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. It's a little bit better on Sunday, but again, it comes down to timing. So I'm not going to give any odds at this early out, but just know that there's a chance of rain and we're going to have to, you know, monitor this and tweak the forecast, which we always do leading up to it.
Excellent. Well, everyone, make sure you stay tuned to Brian on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Race a Weather. Sir, great to talk with you. This was a good conversation. I enjoyed it tonight and look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks, sir.
Sounds good. You know, bottom line, don't take NASCAR to task. We're in a really weird time in our life. Okay, take it from somebody who was in the television media and what I'm watching, because I still kind of look at the world. I've only been out of TV just less than a year. Bottom line, at the end of the day, we just got to love one another to the best we can. You know, when your grandmother said, treat people the way you want to be treated, that kind of works today. You know, NASCAR is doing the best it can. Maybe it looks bad right now, but if you love the sport, continue to love it. Continue to defend it. You know, it's still one of the, you know, as baseball tries to, I mean, I think I heard that baseball may, while baseball tries to figure out what they want to do, NASCAR, your sport, is actually doing something. So, you know, it could always be worse. And who knows? Because most NASCAR fans are college football fans, and we may not even have that. So let's not take for granted. It seems like, I feel like sometimes now that NASCAR has been back pretty consistently, people are taking it for granted. Don't. I know it's changing, but change is what happens in sports. People complain that baseball doesn't change enough. So,
good call.
You know, so bottom line, just, yeah, that's my word advice this week, but look forward to talking to a couple weeks.
All right, man. So, always great to catch up with Brian Newdorf. And now it is time for this week's jam packed lucky dog lap down picks. You guys know the drill. After the race, you can tweet your lucky dog and lap down picks, or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. You can leave your picks on the voicemail, and I'll play them back. All right, my lucky dog for this weekend is the weather for letting us get this race in. My lap down, I really don't have one, to be honest, now that things have kind of changed since the start of the show. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog ARCA Edition. Lucky Dog is Austin Wayne Sell for the save of the year, 100%. Xfinity Edition for Scott. Lucky Dog Noah Gregson not getting touched in the wreck. Lap down Briscoe, not a good start, but half lap credit for the finish. And his Cup Edition, Lucky Dog Eric Almirola, third place backwards, yes. Lap down tie between Chase and Jimmy. Bump drafting, making bump crashing. I like that, sir. Gina at Gina Loves JJ 48. Lucky Dog Jimmy, he only finished 14th, but had a really fast car. And at the end, I'm once again excited to watch him. It's been tough to watch for a while. Lap down. Whoever
well, now didn't leave that thing in Bubba's garage there. CJ at CJ LaPearl's Lucky Dog, all the drivers who pushed Bubba's cars ahead on the grid. Awesome moment. Honorable mention, the Air Titans. Mike at Mike Tuck 12's Lucky Dog, fans in the stands who got to witness this incredible race, lapped down me and the others who didn't get to see the pre-race ceremonies. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, Lucky Dog, the weather for letting us finish. And Blaney, last three plate races had Fono finishes, and he was in all three. It's a good call there. Lap down for Jess Allgaier. Team's been fast in Xfinity, just can't finish off a damn race. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, Lucky Dog Blaney finally pulls off a win with a dominating performance. A lap down, Newman sneaks into the top 10 in the closing laps, as is his usual, only to get nabbed for speeding on pit road. Eddie underscore EG3. I always mess that up for some reason. Lucky Dog, Justin Haley and team colleague, give Justin a job. Underrated speedway racer, gets it done on the track. Honorable Lucky Dog, Bubba Wallace. Lap down Harrison Burton, wrong place or wrong time with a frustrated Josh Williams. Pixie at Pixie Doodle, Lucky Dog Blaney for managing to get in front, even though he didn't get a push at the restart. And Lisa at LL Chonana, who you're going to hear in a minute, because she was this week's lead or week high in the lap traffic fantasy. Lucky Dog Jimmy, he was doing good. Almirola crossing the finish line third backwards, and Bubba and the drivers and the crew for bringing him out. And David at David C. James, Lucky Dog NASCAR, working to get the race in. And guess what? It was on major television network during prime time. And lap down, those who complained about the start time the last 2 days. Only race weather can talk race day weather to me. I love that. Little shout out to Aaron Studwell. Absolutely love it. All right, let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon. John Warrington here at Racing underscore 64. I finally remembered to call before it was too late this week. Talladega was great. I didn't get a good chance. I was able to watch the Xfinity race, but not super close. It was on, but I was busy doing stuff. We had something going on. So it was good to see Justin Haley finally get that weight. And the colleague cars are really coming on strong lately. So as for the Cup Series race, it was amazing. That is what plate racing or spacer racing is supposed to be like. They had, I don't remember what they said for lead changes, but the lead changes is way up there. We didn't have a big one even, and we never rode around single file. They raced hard. It was people coming and going. So it was a great all-around race. If every plate race could be like that, I think everybody'd be a lot happy, even without a big one. I think it was such a great race. And the man, I thought, I'm cheering for John Hunter Nemechek nowadays. I thought, man, if they never make contact there at the last end, he had a run coming along the outside, and I was screaming hard, but it wasn't hard enough. For a lap down, I'm going to go, before I get to that, back after the first four races, and we had the break, and you had your last listener call and show, you were giving me some crap for being way down in 40th place in lap traffic fantasy. Well, I told you I had a lot of good picks left, and I've already crawled my way back up into the top 16, so we'll keep moving forward. Lap down, I'm going to go Justin Allgaier. I'm a Justin Allgaier fan. The guy cannot catch a break. Cars fast every weekend and competing and just cannot catch a break. For my lucky dog, I'm going to say NASCAR with the changes they made to the package to make such a great race. Daytona wasn't bad, but I thought this race was way better. So I don't know if that's a track or just the nighttime or what, but I'm going to say that the changes that NASCAR made for this race. So it's Pocono Hotel Doubleheader time, something we've been looking forward to since they announced it. So we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Oh, John, great to hear your voice on the Wave Around Hotline. It's been a minute. Hell yeah. Props to getting up into the top 16 for wrapping out segment one there. And apparently you just need a little extra motivation from me. So that's awesome. And you know what? I think you hit on something there, that if all plate tapered spacer races were like what we had, I think that
You're right. I think people could bite the bullet a little easier on them for sure. Thanks for calling in. Hope you call in again real soon. All right. Let's get to the next call on the hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Tampa News Net. Oh, my goodness. What an unbelievable race at Talladega for the Cup Series this weekend. You know, you expect the unexpected, and absolutely, I think, was an incredible race, especially for the Cup Series today. I absolutely loved the racing that occurred, and even though it was a day late, you know, it was absolutely an incredible race, I thought. So, anyway, I got two lucky dogs this week. First of all, to the racing this weekend, I am so thankful that, you know, we had that rain at the end of stage one, but we thought the rain was going to cause issues today, just like yesterday. And luckily, that rain dissipated after we got running again at the beginning of stage two, and we were able to get to the end of this race without any issues with rain after the rain delay, obviously, at the end of stage one. I absolutely thought that was the racing was just incredible. So the racing, definitely my first lucky dog, and second lucky dog to all NASCAR, you know, supporting Bubba Wallace today. Just seeing what happened at the beginning of the race today, you know, everybody supporting Bubba was absolutely incredible. I absolutely think this is what NASCAR is all about, supporting each other. And my lap down is definitely going to have to go to whoever, you know, did that thing yesterday in Bubba Wallace's garage. You know, whoever did it, it's definitely going to be caught, I really hope. And definitely, I think NASCAR is doing the right thing by, you know, banning them from the sport for good. Because it's totally unacceptable, and that's not what this country is all about, obviously. So, anyway, enjoy your week as always, Lap Trapping Nation and Brandon. And I'll talk to you next weekend after the races at Pocono. So, thank you so much, Brandon. Take care. Bye.
Oh, Matt, thank you for calling in, as always, each and every week. One of the more dedicated callers. I absolutely love it. Great take there. And, yeah, I mean, I got nothing but agreeing with you there 100%. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I think we all believe that there is more good in NASCAR than bad. So I'm going to tailor my call around the good that I saw this weekend. It was great to have ARCA back, and we had a first-time winner. Gotta love that. The Xfinity race was great, and having Colleague Racing nab the Dash for Cash again was very cool. I know that's a big boost and help for that team. The Cup race was fantastic. My heart was so happy watching the pre-race. It was awesome to have some fans in the stands to cheer Blaney's win and to also show Bubba some much-needed love. I started the day not really wanting to be on Twitter at all or even watch the race, but I'm sure glad I did. My lucky dog this week is going to go to Michael Self for the ARCA race. And that unreal save that he made, if I wasn't watching it live, it looked like someone just boop, rewound the tape and put him back in his position so he could continue on. That was just unbelievable to see. And I don't have a last down this week. I can't even give it to Mother Nature. I think that the threat of rain helped make the Cup race even better yesterday. So no lap down for me this week. I think that's all I have for now. I will talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in. Always bringing a positive outlook on everything. I absolutely love that. And hell yeah to Michael Self. You are so right there. Literally, like, you just, like, I can't even put into words. Like, you just expected that car to complete that spin. How he say? I mean, that's the save of a lifetime. I mean, that should be in highlight videos, you know, 20 years from now, you know, best saves in NASCAR. And that better be there or I'm going to write a letter to somebody. All right, let's get to the last call on the Wave Around Hotline. You know who it is. I'm anticipating a rant. So let's see what Mr. Andrew Kansian brings us this week.
What's going on, Live Traffic Nation? That Racing Cans, also known as the 20%, calling in for Hot Takes Hot Data Edition. For a speedway race, I will say that, I almost said Sunday's race, Monday's race at Talladega wasn't bad. I knew I was going to have a hard time watching and engaging with that race, and I definitely struggled with it after what happened in Daytona. That was definitely something I knew I would deal with, but I could never really fully get engaged with it. I see that it's doing excellent right now on Jeff Gluck's poll, but, you know, just for me, it really, I guess, isn't my cup of tea, so to speak. I have to give a lucky dog to Rich Stenhouse, which is weird because he's my lap down just for shits and giggles most of the time. But I thought he actually ran a very good race, a very smart race, definitely less aggressive. I think he's a little bit more confident in his ability now on these whatever we call them now, super speedway races. And I think he showed that, really not driving in over his head. So he's going to be my lucky dog of the week. My lap down of the week, I don't know, man. I can't think of anything. I'll be positive this week. Let's keep it that way. No lap down this week. I will say I am beyond excited for Pocono. Love that track. I know that's weird to say. Most people don't. I love Pocono. Can't wait for the doubleheader there. Five races next week. ARCA, Truck, Xfinity, and two cup races. Can't wait. Talk to you then.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Kansian calling in with a little bit of a positive twist to some plate racing. I love it. You know, like you said, you know, you kind of just after what we saw at Daytona, it was kind of gut-wrenching, I think, just waiting to see if something like that was going to happen again. Thankfully, it did not. I am so excited for Pocono. I am one of those that have gone on record of saying, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Pocono. But I was planning on going to the double just because of the first time and what uniqueness that we were all anticipating, you know, a year ago, year and a half ago. I'm excited to tune in. I like the truck race at Pocono. I think the trucks actually do a really nice job at Pocono, so I am definitely excited for that. I'm excited for the Cup. I think doubles are interesting. It's an endurance test to run two races back-to-back for the driver, for the crews, you know, strategy, all of that. So there's a lot of newness for Pocono this weekend, which I am very, very excited about. And also props to Andrew Kansian for recognizing Stenhouse there. Stenhouse really did run a good race. Like you had mentioned, you know, as far as the, you know, collectiveness that he had, a little less aggressiveness out there. Hopefully he sees that now I don't have to be aggressive. I can run smart and get up there. And who knows, you know, maybe that will help that team a little bit there for sure. So, all right, that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for the calls. Cannot wait for next week as everyone talks about the Pocono Double. All right, so real quick, I got to break fourth wall here because obviously those calls from everybody were made before the news broke, and I recorded that and got those calls situated before that all came out. So if that sounds a little outdated, that's a little bit why there, but wanted to get everybody on for sure. All right, it is time to wrap this thing up with a little lap traffic fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by midnight on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up and all that good stuff. Segment one is officially over. Going to crown a champ here in just a second. Segment two starts this weekend with the Pocono Double and the Truck and Xfinity race. Four races to pick. Driver picks are reset, so everyone's back available, and we'll keep track with that going forward, as well as the cumulative totals to see who is going to make the Lap Traffic Fantasy playoff grid will now start. No one swept the weekend. Three players took Blaney, five took Haley. Things definitely got interesting there as the picks were limited the last couple weeks here in the league for segment one. Lisa Chinana was your week high player with 91 points with her picks of Blaney and Briscoe. And I finished in 27th in the standings. I'm slowly moving up, a lot better than 40th there. All right. Who is your segment one winner? Made a dominating performance this week. Was able to pass Jess Rose by a few points, who's been in the lead for a while. But Joe Hewson at Joey underscore CLT is your segment one winner. Congrats, Joe. In second place was Jess Rose with 1106. Chad Robb finished segment one in third with 1068. Kent Dolphe in fourth with 1066. Richard Cravens wrapped out the top five with 1046. Brett Morris in sixth with 1035. Mr. Andrew Kantian in seventh with 1022. Toby Christie in eighth with 1019. David James in ninth with 1012. And Matt Camper wrapped out the top 10 for segment one with 1,007 points. Nice job, everybody, there. All right. Let's get this week's week high. Lisa on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line this week's week high. She's a longtime follower of the show. She's also a longtime supporter of the PETM's Patreon account. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Lisa Chinana. What's up, Lisa? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself, Brandon?
I am awesome. Thanks so much for being available tonight. Absolutely love having you guys call in each week with your picks. How was your weekend? What'd you think of the racing this weekend?
Well, scoring a lot of points for the Lap Traffic Fantasy made my weekend. Let's just start with that.
Awesome. Absolutely love that. That makes my week, knowing that you guys love this as much as I love doing it. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, but it was the race. I have to start with the finish.
Sure.
But I'm not going to start with the winner finish. Almirola, he finishes in third, but he finishes backwards. I mean, that I saw it. I'm like, I didn't see it. That was wrong. I had a look at a replay. That blew my mind right there.
That was really cool. I mentioned it a little bit on the show. That reminded me of the Clint Bowyer finish on the roof at Daytona back in 2007. Like, that's one of those things that it's like, did that really just happen? Like, and it's you couldn't replicate that again if they wanted to. It's one of those, like, incredible basketball shots, like, never gonna happen ever again. No, I'm with you there 100%.
It was crazy. Yes. Crazy. I mean, yes. The race was good. The beginning part, it was good, but it was kind of boring to me. And I, just because I think you're so used to Dega, going to happen? It's just going to be
and they
from
were
the
racing
beginning.
The weather too. I think they just wanted to behave themselves a little bit too, because they didn't want to be there Tuesday. That's for sure.
Oh, exactly. But it was just, I mean, it was a good race. They were doing 3 or 4 wide. We're not talking the front guys. I mean, in the middle of the pack. That was crazy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely crazy. And going into Dega, you know, I think one of the things that I'm kind of enjoying, as much as I hate it, at the same
time, I'm with you.
Is there's no practice. There's no qualifying. Well, I hate the whole qualifying thing because I want to see who's going to do what. These guys are going cold. Granted, but they don't know how the car's going to react.
Yep.
So I think we're really seeing some good driver's ability right now, Brandon.
Yeah, no,
because,
everybody's
going up, you know, cold turkey right there.
Yes. I think that might be why a little bit. Maybe that's attributing to, you know, Tyler Riddick's early success at RCR and a team that hasn't, you know, not his team specifically, but RCR as a whole has been underperforming for years, you know. So it's great to see that team doing well. That could very well be playing a factor there for sure. I'm with you. I love the no practice. These guys, for the most part, they've been around a long time. They don't need it so much. You know, I would, like you, I'd like to see some qualifying. You know, do we have to do it on a random draw? Either invert it from the last week or let him go qualify. qualify right beforehand. Like, you know, do Fox Sports 1 for an hour for qualifying and then flip over to Fox for the race. And, you know, I think
yeah, because
would be
I don't
awesome.
Know. Yeah, week to week, I don't know what they're doing. They keep confusing me. I'm like, all right, what are the rules this week?
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm with you there 100%. Well, Lisa, segment one of the Fantasy League is over. Segment two starts. I hope you can carry your momentum. Are you ready to make some picks?
I am ready to make some picks.
All right. Traffic Fantasy, we are headed to Pocono for the Pocono Double. Driver picks are reset, and something tells me there's going to be some common picks this week at Pocono. Toyota has won the last five races. More specifically, Joe Gibbs Racing has won four of the last five, with Martin Truex Jr., who now drives for Joe Gibbs Racing, when he picked up his win at Furniture Row a couple years back. Kyle Busch has won three of the last five. Hamlin's got five or six wins. And while he hasn't won at Pocono, Erik Jones has three top fives in a row. It will be hard not to pick one of these guys this weekend. Who else can we look at? Well, William Byron's got back-to-back top 10s if you want to go the Chevy route, and Keselowski's got back-to-back 10s if you're looking for it. Status quo says pick Toyota, and since everyone will have all drivers available, I bet that's the safe bet. But if you want to make some noise and maybe jump out to an early lead in segment two, maybe you only pick one Joe Gibbs for the first race and a sleeper for the second. Will rain be a factor? Who knows? Someone might try to play some strategy. Ask Chris Buescher about that. He knows how that works. Who takes home the checkers? We will find out. But first, it is time for our picks. Lisa, I'll start with you. Who is your pick for the truck race?
The truck race, I am going to go with Johnny Sauter.
Johnny
Sauter.
He's
got to do it.
Excellent. Yeah. That's a good pick, because I didn't take Johnny Sauter. So you don't have to be cursed yet. I am going with last week's lap traffic guest, Austin Hill. Lisa, who is your pick for the Xfinity race?
Chase Briscoe. The kid has been hot, and I think that he's going to do good on the tricky triangle.
Excellent. Well, make sure you check out tonight's show for sure, as Briscoe was on the show earlier tonight. I am going to go with Ross Chastain in the Xfinity Series race. All right, we got two cup races, the long-awaited Pocono Double. Who do you have for the first cup race?
The first one, I'm going to go with Kyle Busch, which is everybody's probably going to do.
Well,
but I got to go with them.
It's probably a safe bet. I'm in the same camp. I'm going with Martin Truex Jr. So far, we're good. You don't have to worry about the lap traffic curse. All right. The last one, cup race number two. Who are you going with?
William Byron. Have to do it. The kid. Yeah, the kid's doing good there.
I absolutely love it. I'm sticking Toyota. I'm going with the 11 of Denny Hamlin.
No.
Excellent. I know. Hey, you know what, though? I have to make up some points here. I'm down in the standings. I got to play it safe here and start getting some points. So, Lisa, great to talk with you. Good luck this week. Those are our picks. Lap Traffic Fantasy. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Lisa, hopefully we'll get to do this again.
Thank you. You have a great night, and I can't wait to listen to the rest of the pod.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 188 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Don't forget about the giveaways. Huge thanks to Chase Briscoe, Brian Newdorf, and Lisa for calling in tonight. Next week, something a little different. I'm really excited. Greg from Off Access Paint will be on, along with Michigan Local, who made a splash with his painting of Dale Sr. a few weeks back, Dave Santia. It's going to be a painter show next week. I'm pretty excited about that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!